Hello, friends. Put on your best power outfit and crank up the Buffett. You're listening to Blame It on Buffett.
Well, I sailed from Lauderdale down to Key Largo. Crossed the Gulf on a fast sloop, and I sailed the Abacos. As a kid, I read Contiki, and now all the pirate books, too. There's just so many places on my list to see. I'm going crazy just trying to choose.
Welcome back to Blame It on Buffett. Once again, we took a little bit of a break. You know, sometimes you just need a break. That's fine. We're not really on a regular schedule here at Blame It on Buffett. I hope you all understand. I mean, I feel like Parrotheads are pretty easygoing kind of people. So hopefully you're not like, oh no, there's not a new episode. I mean, that's assuming a ton of people are listening to this and being like, oh, when's the new episode coming out? Which I don't know if that's even the case. Probably not. But anyway, thanks for sticking with us. We are back now, and hopefully I'll be recording a few episodes this week to have in the bank going forward. I have the week off of work, so I'm just going to enjoy it, record some episodes, maybe go swimming a few times. It's pretty hot here in Tucson, so it's nice. Some friends of my family are letting me use their pool because they're gone for the summer. So that's probably what I'm going to go do right after I finish recording this. But anyway, this week on Blame It on Buffett, the guest is Kim Becker, who is the founder and owner, I guess, if nonprofits have owners, of the nonprofit Hello Gorgeous, which obviously we'll talk a bunch about it on the podcast, but basically it's a nonprofit that helps women who have cancer kind of have a special day, feel good about themselves. It sounds like a really amazing thing. So please listen to the interview. We talked all about it. I'm kind of excited that because I really want to have some nonprofits on as guests, because we all know that raising money to help our community is a big part of being a Parrothead. So hopefully this is just the first of a few nonprofit interviews. But also it's just great because Kim also loves Jimmy Buffett. So it was kind of a no-brainer to have this interview. So yeah, I hope you enjoy it. If it sounds like a worthy cause, I hope you, go check it out, follow them on social media, donate if you can. If not, that's totally fine, but just try and spread the word because I think this is a pretty special organization. And I'm happy to help get the word around about it by having Kim on the podcast. So please enjoy. Okay, welcome back to Blame It on Buffett. Today I am here with Kim Becker, who I was actually introduced to by Erica Sunshine Lee, and I am really excited to have Kim on because not only is she a Jimmy Buffett fan, but also she runs a super awesome nonprofit called Hello Gorgeous that we'll talk about in just a minute. But Kim, hi, thanks for being on.
Hi, Aaliyah. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you on. It was really nice. Erica was kind of one of my earlier episodes, and I was, you know, still kind of figuring out how to get guests and stuff. And she was like, well, I know people that should be on your show. And she referred me to you and another person, Aubrey Wallet. So like she made it really easy. I had no idea who I was going to have for guests after that, but she's like, yeah, let me just tell you, introduce you to all these people. So thanks to Erica for introducing us. Once she introduced us and we kind of talked a little bit and I looked into what you do, I was really excited to have you on because I haven't had any nonprofit interviews up until this point, but one of the things that's really important to Parrotheads and being in, especially if you're in the Parrothead Club, is raising money for charities, nonprofits, organizations. We just really like to help the community and give back while we're having an awesome time. So I'm really excited for this to be my first nonprofit interview. And then there's just the added bonus that you also like Jimmy Buffett.
Yes. And I'm honored to be the first nonprofit. So that's a win-win for both.
Yeah. So do we want to talk a little bit about, do you want to talk? So first you owned a salon, right? And then you sort of transferred that business into helping women. Do you want to just talk about what Hello Gorgeous is a little bit?
Sure. And then I got to tell you the story about how it got started because it's pretty funny. But I was a hairdresser for 30 years and we owned a salon for 10 years. But let me go back to what Hello Gorgeous is. So Hello Gorgeous is a nonprofit organization that restores the beauty that cancer steals. And we do it a multitude of ways. But one of the big ways that we do it is we actually perform complimentary makeovers on women battling cancer. So each of the women are nominated by family and friends, and we show up unannounced with candy and flowers and roll out a red carpet and greet her with a great big Hello Gorgeous. And then she gets pampered from head to toe. She gets a manicure and a pedicure and a facial. And if she needs a wig, we provide one. And if she's ready for cut and color, we do that. And then we do her makeup and we work with a clothier to get her a brand new outfit. And then we plan a big reveal party for her afterwards, so that she can show off her new look to her family and friends. Because so many times when a woman is diagnosed with cancer, people don't know what to say. So they say nothing and stay away. And so that last piece, when she feels good and looks like $1 million, and we put her back in front of this amazing group of individuals that can lend support to her to get her through the rest of her journey, whatever that looks like, that's the most important piece. So that's Hello Gorgeous in a nutshell.
That's so amazing. And yeah, I had, you know, obviously I looked at your website, I'd watched some videos about it, and doing everything for her to like make her feel good, you know, maybe give her some sense of who she was, like replacing if she felt like she'd lost anything since going through, you know, chemo or starting whatever her cancer journey is. Like that in itself is really great. But then I hadn't even thought about the part, like you were just saying about, you know, having sort of that to bring people together to be able to talk about it with friends and family that might not know how to approach that topic of conversation in a way that is very positive and is like, oh, like she's feeling great right now. Like, let's celebrate this. Let's talk about it together. That's sort of a factor that I hadn't even considered when I was, you know, learning about the nonprofit. So that's really cool.
Well, I think that so many times what happens is it's fear. Loved ones that maybe had heard that she had cancer but hadn't seen her since her cancer diagnosis are fearful that she will look different. And so therefore, they won't know how to approach her. They won't know what to say to her. And so I feel like that's one of the things that Hello Gorgeous can do. I always say, I don't promise after your makeover that you're going to look like Miss America. I just want you to look normal. Right. And actually what I tell these women is after we get done, I want you to go to a restaurant and I want a waitress to treat you badly. Because if you look bad, you know what I mean? If you look normal, the waitress will treat you poorly. Because if you look like you've got cancer, they're very sympathetic. These women don't want sympathy, right? They want to be empowered. And so I feel like so many times that, you know, when we bring these people together and she walks in the room, you know, so all of these people are there waiting for her, anticipating her arrival. And she walks in the room and they stand up and do a great big Hello Gorgeous to her. And when they see her and it looks like the same old Mary or the same old Sue that they knew prior to the cancer diagnosis, it takes the fear out of the people that want to support her that didn't know how. So if she looks normal, then they can treat her normal, and that's all she wants. She doesn't want to be treated like she's sick. She just wants that support there. Sometimes she just needs somebody to stand by her and you know, just hold her hand and not even say anything. But when people are fearful about what she'll look like or how it's going to affect them, right? It's like, how is your cancer journey going to affect me? You know, and so when we bring them all back together, that truly is the most important part of what we do.
Well, and I really appreciate that as a idea because I am totally guilty of this. Like, I wish that I was better, but I am terrible at knowing the right thing to say in a situation. Like, if something like bad has happened or something's wrong, I am the person that just like makes an awkward joke because I like don't know what the right thing to say is. Like, I'm not great at that. So I find that to be a really interesting concept to go along with just sort of giving her a special day as well. But I'm sure, like, in addition to that, for her, it's really nice. I mean, you know, under regular circumstances, it's really nice to get pampered, you know, and get your makeup done and a pedicure, manicure, or whatever you're into. So I'm sure that especially in a situation where maybe you aren't feeling like you would, like, you wouldn't necessarily take yourself out to do that, right? You wouldn't be like, oh, well, I'm just going to go out for, you know, the normal, like, spa pampering situation. To have that come to you, and you have like a mobile bus, right, that like travels around to people.
We do. We have one. We actually had two. And in April of 2017, we lost the newest bus to a fire, but we have one left. So we, and so basically it's a salon on wheels, so we can do these makeovers anywhere. But we've also, we realized that we couldn't do these all, we can't, you know, in 2018, more than 800,000 women were diagnosed with cancer. And that didn't include the women that were diagnosed the year before that continue to go through treatment. So there's no way that with one mobile day spa that we could get to all of the women that need these services. And so we developed a salon affiliate program. So we go in and we train salons how to create the Hello Gorgeous experience. And it's not so much about how to do a pedicure and a manicure. It's how to do a pedicure and a manicure on a woman battling cancer. And so there are precautions that need to be taken because you are working with a woman with a compromised immune system. She's not, you know, your healthy neighbor that comes in for a haircut or a manicure. There are certain things that need to be aware of. And we were never taught this in beauty school. So we created this whole training around, then the salon that becomes a part of our program commits to doing one makeover a month on women in their community. And so that way, then we don't just go in with the mobile day spa and do one makeover and leave the other 5,000 women in that city unattended to, that we actually then we create a footprint so that the Hello Gorgeous program becomes a mainstay in that city.
Wow, that's a really thoughtful way to approach it. I don't think that I would have thought of that as like partnering with salons to, so that your own organization doesn't have to do everything, but it's still, you know, is a way to get it out there. Is there, how do, like, if a salon wanted to be an affiliate, how do they go about that?
Our website is www.hellogorgeous.org. And underneath the tab where it says affiliates, there's all the information about the affiliate. It's an application program. So you have to apply and then you go through an interview process. And then if your salon meets all the criteria, so we look for full service salons, salons that can perform manicures, pedicures, facials, makeup, and that they're, you know, they have a heart for cancer. And so then once you apply and go through the interview process and you pass through that, then we send a coach in. And that salon affiliate coach then does the training and then stays with them through the next day. So it's a 2-day process. And then they're there for the makeover. So that way, then we're kind of a safety net. We give you all the ins and outs and we give you all the tools that you need to make sure that the makeover is successful. But then our coach stays there just to kind of walk alongside you through that process so that it takes all the fear out of it. So that the next time they go to do that makeover, then they have that confidence that they can give that woman this wonderful day that she'll never forget.
That's so great. I hope, I don't know if anybody who has a salon will be listening to this episode, but I hope if you do, or if you know someone that works at or owns a salon, we can get this message out there. Because before Erica introduced me to you, I had no idea that this was a thing, but I think it's a really amazing way to, because like, I think the thing is obviously with nonprofits, charities, you know, the easy sort of thing to do is like, oh, well, you can raise money, right? Or you can give money to an organization that you want to support. And that's great. But to have other ways to support an organization, like maybe you don't have money to just give, but, you know, if you work at a salon and you want to help in that way, to provide opportunities to help support the organizations in different ways that don't just include like, oh, here's money, because like not everybody can give in that way. Are there any other ways that people can support the organization? Do you take like donations of products or anything else that I mean, obviously if people want to give money, that's amazing, but is there anything else that people can do?
You know, one of the big things you can do is be a part of our Hello Gorgeous family and follow us on all of our social media. So we have a Facebook page, we've got an Instagram page, we're on Twitter, we've got a YouTube. I also have a podcast, which I'm hoping, Aaliyah, you will be a guest on my podcast.
Yeah, I'd love to.
we have a podcast called Hello Gorgeous, Everything Beauty, Cancer, and Inspiration. And so, and these are free resources. We've got a free resources page on our website as well. And so there's all kinds of opportunities on there. We have golf outings. We're always looking for experiences for some of the events that we put on. So if you can't donate money, but if you've got, you know, a timeshare that you wanted to be able to gift a week to us so that we can auction it off to raise money to continue these makeovers. You know, there's all kinds of things. We're open to stuff. So, but those are some of the ways that you can support us, even just following us on all of our social media pages.
Okay. Yeah. And do you want to, I usually do this at the end, but do you want to say, is it just Hello Gorgeous on all the social medias or what? Where can people find you?
It's Hello Gorgeous of Hope. And you'll see a woman, it's a picture where she is bald and she's looking into the mirror and the makeover process had happened in the mirror. So her reflection has her in a wig putting on lipstick where in the, you know, she's bald kind of looking in that. So yeah, it's pretty easy to find.
Okay, cool. So yeah, go check that out. Follow the social medias there if you want to stay up with what Hello Gorgeous is doing. And do you want to maybe circle back to how Hello Gorgeous got started and how you ended up like moving from having a salon to moving into this?
Yes, because it's really a fun story. So as I said, I was a hairdresser for 30 years. And as most hairdressers, when we go to beauty school, like I always wanted to open my own salon. And I remember talking to my late husband about it. And I was telling him, you know, I want to open a salon. He goes, I have the perfect name for a salon. He said, we should call the salon Hello Gorgeous. And I said, that's the stupidest name I've ever heard. And he said, no, it'll be really great because every time you answer the phone, you get to say, hello, gorgeous, and it'll make people smile. And I said, it's stupid. We're not doing it. So we did open a salon and I had traveled. I was an educator for a natural nail care company and had the opportunity to go throughout the United States and visit a lot of different salons. And there was a salon that I visited in Southern Illinois and it was a very French theme. It was a chateau looking building and you walked in and they served champagne and cheesecake to like all of their salon guests. And I'm like, that's what I want. When I open a salon, that's the type of salon that I want. So when he came up with Hello Gorgeous, I'm like, no, the name of the salon will be called Cheveux, which meant hair in French. And I already had it all planned out. So I knew what we were going to name the salon. So we did. We called the salon Cheveux Professional Hair Design. And we opened it. We had it for 10 years. And we went from 1,000 square feet. And we had 4 hair stations and 4 tanning beds. And every year, just after the first of the year, we would always remodel. So we would pull out a tanning bed and add a manicure area or, you know, pull out another tanning bed and put in a facial area. And so we were always remodeling and we finally pulled everything out, just had 7 stations, hair stations in there. And the reason that we did that was because I always felt like there was something missing, right? But I couldn't tell you what it was. There was just you and I were talking about, you know, you just wanted your outlet, right? You knew something was missing. So you started this podcast. And so, you know, kind of the same thing, there was just something that was missing and I just didn't know what it was. So after we had done the remodeling and kind of exasperated all of the options in this one space, I said, well, maybe it needs to be bigger. Maybe that's where my longing for something more would come from. So we went from 1,000 square feet to 3,000 square feet. And we had 17 stylists and a massage area and receptionist. I mean, it was a very large, very successful salon. And that still wasn't taking away this emptiness that I was feeling. So I thought, well, maybe I needed to work on me. So I went, I studied at Pivot Point in Chicago and Hair Color USA in Miami. And one of my big dreams was to study at Vidal Sassoon in London. And so I was able to do that. And there was just still this emptiness. And so Mike and I would have these conversations often about, I knew there was something more for us to be doing. And there was something more that we were meant to be doing. And so we were on a ride we were coming back from out of town. We were 3 hours south of our hometown, Indianapolis. And we were coming towards South Bend, which is where we lived. And And Mike and I were having this conversation, and all of a sudden it fell on my heart. And I said, I know what we need to do. We need to have a mobile day spa that caters to cancer patients. We need to have this beautiful, elegant palace on wheels that will treat these women like a queen for a day during a time where they don't feel very special. And so if you or any of your listeners have ever opened a salon, you know, or opened a business, period, like people think that just because you open a business that you make $5,000 in a day and you put that $5,000 in your pocket and you live this very luxurious lifestyle. Well, I can attest that that couldn't be further from the truth. So just about the time we'd get a little bit of money put in our savings account, the water heater would go out or the furnace would stop working. And so anything, Mike was willing to do anything to get us out of the salon. So I'm coming up with this idea about this mobile day spa and, you know, this beautiful, elegant palace on wheels. And I looked at him and we're going to do it for free. And I watched all the color run out of his face. And he said to me, how are we going to do this? And I said, I don't know. I just know this is what we were supposed to do. So him being the supportive husband that he was, he stopped at a bookstore and bought me every book that he could find on free money for women and grant writing for dummies and grant writing for women. And he got back in the car and, you know, I was so excited to continue to just really develop this whole vision that I had. And I watched him, his ears slammed shut. He didn't want to hear any, but I didn't care because I loved being able to talk to him in the car because he couldn't escape. He didn't have any choice except to listen to me. So I kept talking. So we get about 30 miles from home and our son was 3 years old at the time. And we stopped at a McDonald's play area to let our son out and stretch his legs and stuff. And now just to remind you, 10 years had passed from about the time that we had opened the salon to this very moment where we were at. And he was willing to get out of the car. You know, he wanted to escape me. So we got out of the car. And as we're walking into this McDonald's play area, I grabbed a hold of Mike's shirt. And I said, you know what, Mike, this is supposed to be called Hello Gorgeous. I said, the salon was never meant to be called Hello Gorgeous. This is supposed to be called Hello Gorgeous because that's how these women deserve to be greeted. So he didn't want to hear anything about it. He didn't want to do anything. And so I had to work really hard for about 6 months to convince him that that this was what we were supposed to do. And I'll tell you, in the end, it has just been the greatest adventure of our lives. We had no idea how much these women would change us more than we could ever change them. And it's, you know, it started just as something very small. You know, this is a calling for me. There's no way. I mean, I'm a hairdresser and my late husband had a degree from Purdue University in pre-Columbian archaeology. Ooh. So, you know, we always teased and said God should have chosen two marketing majors from Harvard to pull off this big feat that he wanted us to pull off. And so, you know, but God doesn't call the equips, he equips the called. And so, you know, we did everything that we could and just one step at a time to be able to make it into what it is now. And, you know, Michael absolutely loved Hello Gorgeous. And it was his life's work and it gave his life purpose. And actually I lost him 3 years ago. Actually last week, it was 3 years ago. Thank you. He was an amazing, amazing man. And I designed his headstone and on his headstone, I put the logo and Hello Gorgeous, because I thought, what a great way for people to look at that and read, you know, his whole goal was to greet people with Hello Gorgeous so that they could smile. And I thought not many people get to smile in the cemetery. And so what a great way to continue that legacy on. And so the logo is on his headstone so that when people read it, they still get to smile.
That's, and I'm sure that, you know, as reluctant as he was at the beginning, like you said, it's such an amazing undertaking and amazing thing that you're doing for people. I'm sure that like after experiencing it and doing it and seeing how important that work is, I'm sure that he would be happy to have that on his headstone.
You know, he was reluctant, I think, because the vision was just so big and so large and so daunting. And he just, you know, neither one of us could really wrap our head around it, but you know, excuse me, these things would happen and, you know, we would get these signs and, you know, we both knew that that's what we were supposed to do. And it was just, it was so fulfilling to watch these women come in that were bent over and, you know, had a bucket or a bag because they thought they were going to throw up. And you would take them back and give them a facial. And as the day progressed, you watched the life being breathed back into them. And so this woman that came in that would be bent over and looked like she was going to get sick, all of a sudden, 2.5 hours later, she looked like she could walk a catwalk in New York City. Her shoulders are back and her head is held high. And she just feels there's like a light switch that gets turned on the inside of these women. And I just, it's just absolutely positively amazing and the most incredible work that I've ever done to be able to impact lives of women that are going through cancer in the way that I get to do it.
And how do you, sorry if this is too personal a question because we didn't talk about this in advance, but what made the cancer connection for you? Like, did you have an experience with someone in your life that had cancer, or like what made you think like these are the people that we want to help with this?
I didn't. We had lost Mike's mom to glioblastoma about 3 years after we got married. So like we were married in 1993. So I think 1996 we lost her. But we didn't actually start Hello Gorgeous until 2016. But I did watch his mom fight through that, and I was able to help her with some things. But it truly is just a calling, and it just is something that I just really felt compelled that God had placed on my heart and said, this is what you're supposed to do. However, last November, I had my own cancer battle, and so I'm fine. And
I didn't know how that was.
No. And I was very reluctant. We're just now sharing the story because of the fact that, you know, in the beginning, when you start something like Hello Gorgeous, that's so big, right? You come under scrutiny on so many different things. And I'm sure after Mike died, because we started it together and, you know, our son was beginning high school when Mike died. And, you know, I just felt like people were questioning, you know, can she do this on her own? What's going to happen to the organization? You know, I mean, just all of these things. And so you're just strong and you stay steadfast. And so when Mike died, I had a two-prong approach. One was to make sure that our son had a stellar high school career. And I needed to make sure that this organization was continued to go, because now this is his legacy, right? It may have been part of his calling too, but now it's his legacy. So we had to keep it going. So, you know, we did just that. Well, last October, I had a screening. You know, they do those colorectal screening kind of things. And I did it as part of an insurance thing, not thinking anything was wrong. And I got a call that something showed up. And so I went in for a colonoscopy. And while I was in there, they actually found a mass on my colon. And, you know, as horrible as it was, I have become that much more inspired and driven to do the work that I do, because now I've walked in the steps of these women where, you know, you're told that it's nothing, but they take a biopsy anyway, to be, you know, it's a mass, we're not sure what it is, but we need to have it removed. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I'm walking in the grocery store in the frozen food section, only to receive a phone call from the doctor to say, yeah, it's cancer. Ugh. You know, they don't even call you into the office and, you know, give you an opportunity to sit down and walk you through it. And I'm like, excuse me, you told me it was nothing. Yeah, but if you had to have cancer, this is a good one to have. Okay. All right. I'm glad it's not the bad cancer. Thanks for that. So I go in and I had surgery done. I had 14 inches of my colon removed and 21 lymph nodes, four of which were affected. But I'm grateful I didn't have to have any further treatment, except I just go to the doctor every 3 months right now. And it is a very slow growing cancer. But again, you know, to sit in the waiting room now, waiting for your test results, I have such a, obviously just such an even better understanding. So I'm grateful. I have a better understanding of what these women walk through. And as compassionate as I was about helping these women with cancer, I'm even more so now and more passionate about it and more driven to make sure that any woman that hears those words, you have cancer, that she has the tools that she needs to smile when she looks in the mirror. That is my passion. Because when, you know, during the time that I was a hairdresser for 30 years, I can't tell you the number of women that came in that would sit in my chair. I knew that they had cancer before their loved ones knew. They came in and they told me. And the first question that they asked and their first concern that they had, what do you think it was?
How they're going to look.
Am I going to lose my hair?
Yeah.
And so it's so important. And what happens is then if you don't feel good about the way that you look, you stop participating. That means you can't go to your kids' soccer games. That means you can't go to work and continue to do the job that people are relying you for. You can't participate in your role as a wife because you don't like the way that you look. So if we can, as an organization, give her the tools that she needs to smile when she looks in the mirror, the ripple effect of that just goes for miles and miles and miles, right? Because all of a sudden she can be more productive at work. She can be a hands-on mom because she feels good. She can go to the soccer games. She can go to the softball games. And the husband is standing there smiling because the wife is smiling. So I think that that's what we didn't realize truly when we started the organization is the ripple effect that we would have on so many people, coworkers, extended family, husbands, children, all of those people. And that's what's really been that's been the gift. It's been the gift that we're able to give her. And that's what people have said. It's been so long since we've seen her smile. We had a makeover that we did in Minnesota last fall, maybe last September or October. And we had brought a photographer with us to capture everything. And she told us that she didn't want her picture taken. And then we, as she got a little bit more comfortable, she said, okay, you can take my picture, but please don't post them on social media. And so we were like, okay, you know, we honor that. I mean, if we can do that, it benefits us. But if you don't want your pick, that's not what it's all about. We're here to make sure that you have the ultimate experience. And so as it went on, as her day went on, she was striking poses. And at the end, she pulled me aside and she said, okay, you can use my pictures on social media. Just don't use my last name. It was just to watch this transformation take place. And she got a little bit of a trim. She was at the end of her treatment. So her hair had started to grow back, but it was just the outfit and the way that she felt because of the pampering that she received. It was this empowering experience. I'm not kidding you when I tell you, it's truly watching them come alive. It's incredible.
Well, and I think, you know, not that necessarily willpower can heal you if you have a medical issue, but there really is a thing where the more you negative you feel and the more you sort of feel like giving up, the less you're going to fight. And so putting these women back in a position of feeling empowered, feeling good about themselves, like that gives them, I'm not speaking from personal experience, but it seems to me like that would give them the extra energy to like keep fighting in a way that maybe they wouldn't otherwise if they're sort of just feeling really down and you know, feeling like they can't do it or like giving up. This kind of thing of like making them, like boosting them back up, making them feel good. Like I feel like that could really help in their, you know, career of, or their journey of being, you know, getting treatment and going through all of that, to have these moments of like, oh, maybe I can do this, right? Like maybe it's not totally everything is terrible, and like maybe I am still who I am. And, you know, like I feel like that kind of thing could really make a difference in someone's healing journey, I guess.
It absolutely does. You know, think about it yourself. Like think about the difference, you know, especially being in the pandemic. Right. So I got up every day because my son was at home with me, and his normal is that his mom gets up and she takes a shower and she puts her makeup on and she does her hair. And I did that to sit at the dining room table all day long because nobody was leaving their house. But when you think about that, right, you have a power outfit, or I'm going to assume that when you're having a really good hair day, think about what that does to your mood. Or if somebody comes up to you and says, I love your hair, or they compliment the color of shirt you got on. It makes you feel better. Like when you feel really good about the outfit, I always call it like your power outfit. When you feel good about the outfit that you've got on, or you've got this really sharp red lipstick and you feel powerful because you've got that red lipstick on. I mean, anybody can benefit from that, right? Just from that. But think about when you don't have any color in your face because the chemo has drained everything, and you feel sicker than a dog, and you don't know where to go, and you've lost all your hair, and you don't have a wig that you like. You've got a wig, but you hate it. You don't feel good. I mean, I know if I don't have a pair of pants that fits just right, I don't feel good. There's that confidence to it. And so there is something to that. I really do believe that when you feel better, you heal faster. There's something about the way you walk and the hold yourself, and as well as the positive self-talk, all of those things, which is why with part of our program, it's not only that she gets the makeover that day, but everything that's used on her that day, she gets to keep. So all the makeup, all the skincare, all the nail polish, everything. So it's not just about giving her a day of beauty and then sending her home to all the old stuff she was using. It's giving her all the tools that she needs to reproduce the look the next day. I felt that strongly about the fact that you, if you feel better, you do heal faster. You need all of those tools to make sure that you can reproduce that look.
Yeah. And you're right in that there's something about feeling good about yourself. And it doesn't even necessarily have anything to do with like other people seeing you or how other, you know, people like complimenting you or whatever. Like, I feel like when the COVID first started, I basically haven't really been anywhere because I'm immunocompromised. So I had like basically just been at my house and I work from home. They sent us all to work from home. So I've been doing my job still full time, but the first like 2 weeks, right, I was like, this is great. I'm just going to wear my pajamas all the time. Cause like, I don't have to go into the office. But then like, eventually I was like, well, like, even though I'm not going anywhere, I still like want to wear a cute outfit, you know? So then like, I started dressing up like, the way that I have kind of weird eclectic style, but like what I felt cute in and cute outfits for me, even though like, I mean, my husband was seeing it, but it wasn't like I was like going out places in public, but it's still, there's something about like it, you feeling good about yourself. And it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with like other people seeing you or how other people see you. But sometimes you just need that boost of, like you said, like putting on like your like outfit that makes you feel great that day for whatever reason. And it makes a big difference, even if it's just for you, you know?
That's right. It really does. And I attest to that. Like years ago, I went to a seminar and there was a gentleman by the name of Win Claiborne. And he always said that everything in your closet should make you feel like $1 million. And he said, if it doesn't make you feel like $1 million, you need to throw it away. Why do you want something in your closet that doesn't make you feel good? And as a hairdresser, that was really important for us because he said, if you don't feel good about who you are and the way that you look, right, then that confidence that you've got, you can't give that confidence or transfer that confidence to the person that's sitting in your chair. You know, it's just there. I'm sure that there have been studies that are done that just says if you look good and you feel good about the way that you look, you're going to be more productive. I'm sure that you're more effective at your job because of that, because you look good and you feel better. So again, I just feel like it's something that's truly empowering that we're able to give these women that unfortunately that's what cancer strikes. And if it's not the cancer, we helped a woman actually in our office this morning with a wig that's had to have like brain surgery. And so one side of her hair was long. It was her normal length, but the other side where they had to shave her head and they had to radiate her, like part of it was growing back, but some of it wasn't. And she was so self-conscious about it, which is why she came in for us to help her with a wig. And the smile on her face today, when we got done just that one thing, that simple act of kindness to be able to help her with the wig so that she could go out in public and that nobody knew it was an escape from what she was going through. Right? Because nobody knew what was happening. Nobody knew that underneath of that, she had a scar that went from her eyebrow all the way back to behind her ear. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah. Have you had any, have you still been able to, like you said, a lot of these women, if they're, you know, going through chemo or whatever cancer they're dealing with, their immune system is more compromised. Have you been able to still do anything during this time, or have you kind of had to stop doing the makeovers since the pandemic started?
So yes, we have stopped. Most of the salons were closed. We've got salons from California to the state of New York and everywhere in between. So we have 33 affiliates in 15 states. So at one point in time or another, all of our salon affiliates were shut down. They weren't allowed to even do their regular business. And so, we have not, even though the salons have reopened, we've not allowed the beginning of the makeovers to start yet. And I don't know, it'll either be fall or winter until I feel comfortable that right, these women can go back in there and that I feel like the pandemic is under control enough that they can be kept safe, because we are working with women with a compromised immune system.
Right. And yeah, that's definitely important. even more important than just a regular situation is, you know, you're wanting to help these women, make them feel good. So yeah, don't want to take any unnecessary risks. Has it been, since you're not sort of, I guess, having a financial output, have people been donating still? Like, are you maybe able to like sort of get a little more influx of money coming in that then you can put to work after? Or is it just because everything's kind of shut down, has fundraising still been happening? Or like, if people want to donate, would this be a good time because you can kind of save it up?
Yes. And so what happened was, even though we weren't doing the makeovers, which is really great about how in the last 18 months or so, we shifted some of our business, and this really helped that shift. And so we do a lot of things now that are support online. So we've got, I created an online course that's 5 different modules that walks these women through how to dry your eyebrows on, scarf tying techniques, the right way to put your wig on, how to tell the difference between a synthetic hair wig and a human hair wig. And so even though we've not been able to touch them via the makeovers, we still have all of these tools that are out there that are available to them. We created something called a Hope Chest, which is a box of things that are Kim Becker approved that, there's socks, there's some skincare in there, there's some earrings, different things that just, if your loved one is diagnosed with cancer and you can't see them right now, then these Hope Chests are available where you could just send them a little bit of love to let them know they're not forgotten, they're still thought about. And what's been fun is that they get the box and then they Zoom with the loved one that sent that to them. And the loved one actually gets to watch them like open the box and see all the goodies that are inside of it and stuff. And so we've got some things. And then of course we have apparel. We have shirts and t-shirts and sweatshirts that say Hello Gorgeous on them. And so we've had some sales that way that we've been able to support ourselves financially. There are still some people that are doing fundraisers for us. We've got a golf outing that's going to take place the end of August. And so we are still moving ahead with some of our fundraisers, but also, you know, any nonprofit can always use a donation of any kind, you know, any right. monetary amount helps us. But we were very fortunate in that we set us up, we're in a good place. So that we'll be able to weather the storm. It may not be as much as what we want it to be, but I'm going to retract that statement. Years ago, I worked in the salon when we had a recession, and one of my clients had told me about him working at FedEx. And when the president of FedEx was interviewed about how the recession was going to affect them, the president stated that he was not going to participate in the recession. So in 2012, when, you know, things kind of dipped a little bit and I was behind the chair, and, you know, I just made that same comment. I said, you know, people would ask me, how's my business? I'm like, my business is great because I choose not to participate. So when all of this came up with COVID and all of that kind of stuff, and, you know, people are fretting about their nonprofit and whether it's going to be an exit, and we've just taken on that same stance. We choose not to participate. So Hello Gorgeous is here for the long haul. We're going to, you know, we're weathering the storm and we're going to make it through, and we're just continuing to do what we do. And we've shifted a little bit to make, like I said, some of these tools available more online, even though we physically can't touch these women. We've got many things that are there that if they go to the website, they can find the answers to questions that come up while they're going through cancer treatment. And I've said through all of this, you know, unfortunately, cancer didn't go away through all of this. Cancer's still there. It just took a backseat to COVID. That's all. But it's still there. So I think about all of these women, right, that have had to take the extra precautions, and we were all on a mandated stay at home, they still had to go get chemo. They still needed to leave their house to go get their radiation. So we want to make sure that whatever they need for their support to make it, that whatever they need to get through this, that we are there. Hello Gorgeous is there to help them.
Well, and it sounds like you've done an amazing job of pivoting with the times, you know, like you said, and doing, not just being like, oh, well, we can't do anything now, but figuring out what you can do to still help people, you know, creating more online content and all of that. So yeah, it sounds that obviously while not being able to do the in-person makeovers isn't great, having this time to create more of that online content and things that maybe you wouldn't have focused on as much, like that content is now there for, you know, in perpetuity. Like, it will be there for women online anytime they need it. Like, even if they can't get a makeover in the future, even when you're back to doing makeovers. So I think that's a pretty, it's been really interesting to see how businesses and nonprofits and different things have sort of pivoted in this situation. And I think in some cases it's created content for those businesses that maybe they wouldn't have thought to create otherwise, but is actually going to be really helpful for them going forward. So it sounds like that you did a great job of not just being stagnant, but coming up with, well, what can we still do during this time?
That's right. And that I think is the most important thing. As I said, you know, I am aware that cancer is still there. So I can't say we didn't have a choice, because everybody has a choice. We all have free will, but we've chosen to be able to do things that would still make these women feel good about their appearance, even though we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Right. Well, and you mentioned the thing about how you're going to have the golf event, which I wanted to sort of come back a little bit to the fact that people who are in the Parrothead Club know that when you have an event or a party or something, you choose a nonprofit or an organization that you want to support. And then and the money that you raise during your event goes to that organization. And you actually, like you said, the way you met Erica was through an event, right? So Hello Gorgeous has been the chosen charity for a Parrothead Club event. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So we have a local Parrothead Club, and they approached us. They do their party for a purpose. And they came to us and they said, we'd like to choose you as our charity of choice. And we said, oh my gosh, you know, that would be wonderful. I'm a huge Jimmy Buffett fan, though. That makes my heart happy. I love all of that. So they did this whole thing, and all of the proceeds were then came back to Hello Gorgeous. And so what happened was Erica Sunshine Lee was their guest, and she was their performer for one of their events. And so that's how she learned about Hello Gorgeous. And she happened to, her flight was delayed, or she ended up not leaving town right away. And so she actually came to our offices and we were able to meet her. And because of that, then she asked us, she just released a single called Change the World. And so she wanted us to be a part of her video for that particular song, her music video. And we were supposed to like go to Denver, and we had this whole thing planned, and then COVID hit, so nobody went anywhere. So she came up with an ingenuitive way and just asked us to film a video of ourselves that, and, you know, film it a certain way and then submit it to her. And then they were able to put the video together. And so anyway, I love her. We've been able to we've stayed in touch, and, you know, her music is so fun. And I think it's a lot like what the Buffett music is. You know, it's just, I don't know how else to say it, except it's just fun. It's an escape from the normal life. When you listen to anything Jimmy Buffett or anything trap rock like that, it's just so lighthearted. It's just, I love it. I love it. But I was so grateful that I was able to meet her. And that's how I was introduced to you, was through Erica Sunshine Lee.
Yeah. And so I wanted to just bring that up, because if people who are listening to this, if your club is having an event, like, keep in mind, I mean, I know there's so many charities to choose from, right? Like, you can never support everything. But if you want to support an organization that, you know, is doing something great, like we talked about a little bit before, the Hello Gorgeous organization, like, that is kind of an escape, right? The same way Jimmy Buffett, Trap Rock, all of that is escapism. Like, we've talked about this on the podcast before, like, that's an important part of this community. Like, you give these women an escape from their, you know, what has become their reality in dealing with cancer. So I feel like it kind of just comes full circle, right? Where you're giving them this, it's a different kind of escapism maybe, but it's still that kind of experience that is why we sort of all come together in the love of Jimmy Buffett, in love of Trap Rock, to do these events. And so it's definitely, I think, I would hope that if people are listening to this, that they might consider having Hello Gorgeous as one of their sponsored nonprofits for an event, because I think not only is it a great nonprofit, but it sort of, you know, fits in with the whole ideal of giving someone an escape from what they're dealing with.
It truly is. You know, so in order to be a part of the Hello Gorgeous program, if a woman is going through cancer, she has to be nominated by a family or friend. And she can't know anything about it. because as women, we're selfless. So if I were to say to her, hey, let me take you, I'm going to, you know, because of everything that you're going through, I'm going to take you for a manicure. The first thing the woman would say is, no, no, take my mom, because my mom's had to take me to every chemotherapy treatment.
Right.
Or take my daughter, because my daughter's had to watch me go through all of this. So we set it up that it has to be a surprise. And I always say, lie, cheat, steal, do whatever you need to do to get her where I need her to be, because she doesn't even know that she needs us. You know, it's amazing. Like when you go on a vacation, right? You, your first day of vacation, you're laying by the pool and you're relaxing and you're having a cocktail and you realize how badly you needed that vacation. Like you didn't realize how stressed you were. You didn't realize how overworked you were until you get to that first day of vacation. It's the same thing with these makeovers. These women don't even realize that they need these services. They don't realize that they need somebody just to pamper them and to dote on them just for this 3-hour period of time where they don't have to worry about anything cancer related. They just get to sit there and enjoy and have someone wait on them hand and foot.
Yeah, it's just such a great opportunity for them to experience something that, like you said, maybe they wouldn't nominate themselves for because they would think like, oh, I don't, you know, I'm not feeling great, so I don't want to do that. Or yeah, like, you know, my mom really deserves this because she's done X for me. So I think that's really interesting. And I guess I hadn't realized that, but that's a great way to get them to do it. Have you ever had anybody that's like, no, I don't want to do it? Or once they realize that they're sort of in it already, is everyone sort of excited about it? Or,
you know, it was funny. We had a salon affiliate that was actually local. And the lady that was getting the makeover was a beloved janitor at a school. And they had worked really hard. And I think the reveal party was like upwards of 75 people. I mean, it was huge. And the woman got to the door and the team was there and they had the red carpet rolled out and they had candy and flowers. And she walked in the door and she said, you know, they said, hello, gorgeous. You know, you've been nominated for a day of beauty and you've been chosen. And the woman, as she walked in, looked at them and just said, my arm hurts today. I can't do this. And the entire team kind of backed up and they said, Kim didn't tell us what to do when this happens.
Oh,
and so the salon owner, who I love dearly, walked up to the woman and so now like they're like, there's panic, right? Because they've got like 75 people that are going to be waiting for her arrival. And if they don't do this, and so the salon owner walked up to the woman and just said, you know, you are nominated for this because you're loved and people care about you. And we really like to treat you today. And we'd like to pamper you and we won't do anything that you don't want to have done. You know, we'll just take it as far as you're willing. Well, it ended up that the woman, it was just fear. And I'm sure that the pain just zaps everything out of you. She had the makeover, had a great day, was so surprised at all of those people that were there. But you know, that's one of my favorite stories I think it's just fear sometimes, right? They just don't know what to expect. And so because they don't know what to expect, they're so tired of being poked and prodded and, you know, somebody else. And that's why I don't want this to be, I mean, I want the salon to be safe, but I want it to be a salon. I truly want it to be a pampering, memorable experience, a positive anchor that sets in that you always go back to. And I always say, you know, I want every manicure after the manicure she gets on her Hello Gorgeous visit, I want her to go back to, you know, the last time, or my favorite manicure was the manicure that I got with Hello Gorgeous. Or every time they put that outfit back on, it takes them back to Hello Gorgeous because it was such a positive experience. And again, I think people, they just, you don't know how bad you need us until after you actually have that experience.
Yeah, it's probably a little intimidating at first, right? To be, and not everyone's great at surprises. So like, but okay. Once you, if you relax into it, I'm sure that there's no one that wouldn't be like, okay, this is actually pretty great.
Yes. 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 And as I've said, you know, there's been so many of them that have just said, and one woman in particular comes to mind. She said, I didn't know I needed you guys. Like I didn't even know. I didn't know how badly. And you don't know what you don't know. There's just that old saying, right? And so I just don't even think that they realize that they just need a little bit of TLC. And then it's so empowering. You know, we had, when Mike and I first started this, I remember, you know, he and I would say that we just felt like it was fluff. you know, I'm so sorry that you have cancer. Let me paint your fingernails. It's right. so much more than that. It's this whole 3-hour pampering experience. And, you know, we've had women that have come back to us and said, that was one of the best days of my life. You know, that they remembered their birth date, their diagnosis date, and their Hello Gorgeous day. That's how impactful this program is.
Well, and I, once again, I have no idea what it's like. Like, I can't speak from experience at all, but I can imagine that when everything in your life is so heavy, right? Like when you're going through something so major that, you know, there's not a lot of positivity there in that, like you're having to go through this big ordeal. Fluff is kind of what you need sometimes, right? Like you don't need something else that's going to be like a huge, like dramatic thing that you have to deal with. You need something that's like kind of light. Like obviously it's important and impactful in that it makes you feel good, but the important part is that it is sort of just like, oh, this is just like, I'm just, you know, getting a manicure. Like it's just like kind of like that, like normalizing every day. I mean, not that everybody gets a manicure like that regularly, but kind of those things, right? That feel special, but still in that fluffy way that doesn't feel too overwhelming, I guess.
And you're so right with that. When I designed the program, as I said, it's not about doing the manicure, but it's about doing the manicure safely. And so she needs to see that, right? Because in the beginning, what happened was when we offered a manicure to these women, they told us no, because their doctor told her that they couldn't get them. And right. as I kept hitting that, then I went back to the doctors and the nurses and I'm like, why are you telling these women that they can't have these services done? Like, this is when they need a little TLC. This is when they need some pampering. And it's because they're fearful of an infection or a fungus or, you know, and so our program, we put all of those safety features into play, which is how we train those salons. And so we educate the women then to let them know, hey, I don't want you to be nervous while you're sitting here. Look, we've been trained and we've taken precautions to make sure that you are safe. You know, we've taken the things that you may worry about and you don't have to worry about anything. But it's also that it has to be kept very simple. And so even like with our skincare line, I think there's 3 or 4 steps to the skincare line and that's it. And I said, you know, she's so overwhelmed with appointments and, you know, keeping the family as normal as possible. If you give this woman battling cancer a 14-step skincare system, it's going to sit in the bag. She's never going to use it. She does not need to be overwhelmed with that. Keep it simple, sister. That is my motto. So everything is just, it's just delivered in a way that I want her to be able to reproduce it. I want her to use the skincare in the morning and at night because it'll be really good for her skin because of the effects of the cancer treatment. You know, I want her to be able to use the nail polish, all of those things. We just keep in line because she's already overwhelmed with so many other things. You don't want to go in and overwhelm her even more so. You want it to be a positive experience.
Yeah. I mean, I can't handle more than like a 3-step skincare routine. Right. I'm just like in a regular situation. So.
Right.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I've just really kept it where it just needs to be. And just because it's simple doesn't mean it's good. We've got a great skincare line that we work with. But, you know, those are the things that as the founder of this organization, you know, I've sat down and I've taken all of these things into account to make sure that it's the best experience possible. You know, again, I think so much about, you know, Jimmy Buffett and the, you know, the parrot heads and the, you know, the tailgating and all the stuff that goes on at one of his concerts. It's all about the experience. Right? You want to hear the same songs because you want to go, when you hear it on the radio, you want to go back to that experience when you were at the concert and you were singing at the top of your lungs and, you know, everybody's yelling salt, salt, salt. And, you know, all of those things, right? I think it's just, it really is all about the experience. And that's what it is with Hello Gorgeous. Like, I want to take it. It's all about that experience from the red carpet to the flowers to, you know, her getting a bag of things at the end to having 3 outfits. You know, that's the other thing when we do it. Like, I only allow the clothier to bring 3 outfits in 2 different sizes because you'll have weight loss and weight gain due to cancer treatment. But you can't, I don't want her overwhelmed. I don't want her, don't take her to the store where she's got a whole store full of clothes. Pick something out. Here's her sizes. Here's her favorite colors. You know, this is what she can do. This is what she can't do. And then just bring me 3 outfits that you can mix and match that will be the best for her so that she's not overwhelmed, so that it's an experience. That's what I want. I want it to be a positive experience.
Yeah. And well, since you brought it up, Jimmy Buffett, that's a perfect segue. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about Jimmy Buffett a little bit before we end the episode, because I know that you're a fan, and obviously this is a Jimmy Buffett inspired podcast. So do you want to talk a little bit about, like, when you started listening to Jimmy Buffett? Like, you mentioned you've been to concerts. Like, do you want to just talk about, like, being a parrot head a little bit?
You know, so we started listening to Jimmy Buffett as an escape. We were married in 1993. And then 3 years shortly after that, my husband was diagnosed with a very rare liver disease. And so for the next 20 years, we were in and out of hospitals and doctor's appointments. And, you know, it certainly wasn't the life that we were thinking about, but Jimmy Buffett was our escape. And so anytime that we could listen to, you know, we had all the CDs, and that was, you know, way back when the cars would have the five CDs, and we would just put each of his CDs in there and would just randomly at the salon. I played Jimmy Buffett music at the salon all the time, because I wanted, when we owned the salon, I wanted that to be an escape. And it just took you someplace else. And so we went to Key West and had an opportunity to go to the Green Parrot, which is where Jimmy Buffett started. And absolutely loved Key West. We've been there a couple different times, and went down to Mallory Square, and then had the opportunity to see him in concert a couple of times. And so the one in particular we were in Chicago at Tinley Park for our 10-year anniversary. And I remember Michael, my late husband, had been going through some health things, and they weren't sure if he had cancer, and they had done a biopsy, and we were waiting for the results, and the results were coming on Monday. And so, and this was Saturday night, and I remember the song Come Monday, Come On, and I just had tears streaming down my face, because it said, come Monday, it'll be all right. And I'm like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. I know you're going to be fine.
Jimmy Buffett says you're going to be okay.
That's right. And he was. But every single time from that point on, when we heard that song, it was like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And so, yeah, we just, you know, we loved it. Any chance that we got, you know, that we were like we're in South Bend. So Noblesville and Chicago were two of the main things. And just we actually, for our salon, we actually organized a bus trip. And we took we had 50, 60 people on the bus, and we went up, I think it was Tinley Park, and, you know, took the bus up and brought the bus back with all of the people. We all had our leis on and our Hawaiian skirts. And, so we were really, you know, we've always, always, always really been really big fans. And like I said, that's what got us through a lot of some of Michael's hospital stays and some of our tough times, where we would just, you know, put that in. And so now, even like when we vacation, we were at the Margaritaville resort in Pigeon Forge over Christmas. So when Mike passed away, he passed away in June. And that first Christmas, I had announced to my family, I'm like, I won't be here for Christmas. And they're like, where are you going? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm not going to be here. I said, I can't do it. I need to have something out of the ordinary. And I said, but I want it to be an experience. I just don't want to go someplace where it's just a Red Roof Inn, you know, or something that I want it to be around something. So we went to the Margaritaville in Pigeon Forge and stayed right on the island that was there. And, you know, it was so cool, because we were literally just immersed into the Buffett experience, and just everything about it that they had. And then of course the Margaritaville restaurant was right there. And just, there's just something about that, that truly just allows you to escape whatever it is that you're trying to face. And it's there when you get back, but it seems like your mindset is reset, so you're able to handle it a little bit better. At least I was able to handle it better after having that escape. It just, you can't not smile when you're there.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, what brings us all together is having that, relating to Jimmy Buffett songs, like you said, like having them have a meaningful, be meaningful to specific times in your life. Like, I know that I relate specific Jimmy Buffett songs to specific parts of my life. And then having that escapism that really gets you, like, it's, because it's not that you just run away and like never face anything, right? Like you were saying, like you have to go back to your regular life, but somehow
That's right.
That really it stays with you, and it kind of like boosts you to know that escapism is there if you need it. Also, because it is such a community, right? Like,
That's right.
You know that like you can be meet other fans, Jimmy Buffett fans or Trap Rock fans or just, you know, people in the Parrot community, and you immediately have something in common. So it's like a built-in community that is there for you, even if you don't actually know that many people. It doesn't matter, because as soon as you're like, oh, we're all at this event together, or like, oh, you're also a Parrothead, it's like, okay, immediately we're friends, you know?
That's right. And I love that. And that's, you know, I think what is so cool is like when you go to a Margaritaville restaurant and when they're in there, like they show footage from tailgate parties. And, you know, that's the other thing. You get to tailgate at places that don't allow tailgating. But for the Buffett concerts, they allow you to, right? And so they get all of that footage and you just see all of those people having such a good time. And that's really what it is. They're all brought together for that same common goal of just being able to go and escape and have a good time and be safe and just create a lot of memories, because that's what life's about. It really is just creating a lot of memories.
Yeah, it really is. And you're doing that as a Jimmy Buffett fan, and you're doing that with Hello Gorgeous. And I think that is an amazing circle that completes itself, I feel like.
That's right. It is. And I tell people all the time, besides Jimmy Buffett, I have the best job in the whole world.
Besides Jimmy Buffett first, then me.
That's right. He always says, thanks for the best summer job ever. And yeah. I'm thinking, well, I got a pretty cool job too. So yes, I have the best job in the whole world.
Well, I think that's amazing. And I am so glad that you agreed to come on the podcast. And I had such a great time talking to you. Do you want to, I know we said it before, but just to wrap up at the end, do you want to say your website and your social medias again, just in case people missed it so they can find and follow you?
Sure, that would be great. Our website is www.hellogorgeous.org. We are on all the social media channels, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can find us just under Hello Gorgeous. And it may be Hello Gorgeous of Hope. Hope stands for helping others persevere every day. And we would love to have you follow us and make sure that you like Aaliyah's podcast. And if you enjoyed our episode today, make sure that you share it with your friends so that they can learn more about Hello Gorgeous.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for plugging me.
You're welcome. It's all about making the world a better place. So
yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on. It was so lovely to talk to you. And hopefully we will talk again soon.
Great. Thanks, Aaliyah. Have an awesome day.
You too. All right. So we're back from the interview. Like I said, I learned all about the organization because of this episode, basically, that she was going to come on. So I learned about it. It really seems like a great cause. Like we talked about, they have had Parrothead Club events raise money for them in the past. So I hope you'll consider this if you're, you know, looking for an organization to support and you don't have one quite nailed down, or you need suggestions. This seems like a great opportunity to have them as your organization for your event. I wanted to talk a little bit really quickly about something that kind of came up at the end of the podcast, which is having a Buffett song tied to a specific memory or a specific time in your life. Jimmy has so many songs and he's been doing this for so long. And a lot of us have been fans for a really long time. And I know that I have very specific songs that really will just like take me back to a specific time. And I really want to hear your stories about this, because I think it'd be a fun segment to do on the podcast. So if you have a really specific story about one Jimmy Buffett song that just means a lot to you or is really tied to a specific event or time in your life, please tell me about it. You can send it to me over social media or through my email. My email is blameitonbuffettpodcast@gmail.com. I'm at blamebuffettpod on all the social medias, basically. So you can message it to me there or email. But really, I think it would be super fun to use the recording function in Anchor, and I will post a link in the show notes, and I'll probably do a separate social media post about this just so people can respond to that too if they want. But if you go to that messaging link on my Anchor page, you can leave me a voice message. And I've talked about this before, but basically you just record. It's like leaving a voicemail, basically. You record you talking, and I want you to tell me your story. And if you're okay with it, and I will try to incorporate those into an actual episode of the podcast at some point. So if you're willing to be on the podcast telling your story, please, please send me a voice recording of that. And you can do that through my Anchor page, which is the host page for my podcast. Once again, I'll post the link in the show notes. I'll probably do a separate post about it. But if you don't want to do that, that's totally okay. But send me your stories anyway in written form and I can read them. Or if you don't want me to share it on the podcast, but you just want to share it with me, that's totally okay. Just indicate that. I would be happy to hear them either way. So I think it'd be a fun little way to get some audience participation. And also, like, I just really want to hear your guys' stories about this, because I think that, you know, we all have some of these moments, you know, that are really closely tied to Jimmy Buffett songs. So please, please let me know. And I already told you where to find me. So go find me, share the podcast if you like it, review it if you're on iTunes or another platform where you can review it, or Apple Podcasts, I guess. Leave me a review if you're enjoying it. Someone else left a review on Apple. I really appreciate that person. Thank you, whoever did that. So just the way to get this out there is just to share. I think word of mouth has been my best way to get new people to hear about the podcast. And as always, if there's people that you think would be great guests or something you would specifically like to hear me talk about on the show, feel free to let me know those things. And I think that is all for today. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you will go check this out and support it if you can. And until next time, fins up.
Blame it on Buffett. He was my hero.